Welcome to the Voice of Florida Architecture. I'm your host, Rhonda Hammond, AIA. We are continuing our component series, introducing the leadership of our local components, allowing them to share how they are supporting their membership and engaging with their community. I'm excited to welcome the leadership team of AIA Miami to the podcast to share their vision and insights on how the profession can stay relevant and impactful in today's rapidly changing world. Please welcome the current president, Vanessa Smith-Torres, AIA, Jamie McNichol, AIA, their president-elect, and past president of both AIA Miami and AIA Florida, Ms. Lourdes Salar, FAIA. Again, welcome and thank you for being here.
Thank you, Rhonda, for having us.
So AIA Miami is one of the most dynamic and influential components of AIA Florida. It has been a hub for design excellence, advocacy, and community engagement, serving architects, designers, and allied professions across South Florida. The chapter not only supports its members with professional development, networking, and leadership opportunities, but it also plays a vital role in shaping conversations around resilience, sustainability, and the future of our built environment in a region that faces unique challenges and opportunities. From organizing public programs that bring architecture to the community, mentoring emerging professionals, and celebrating design through events like their annual design awards, AIA Miami continues to elevate the role of architecture and architects in our society. As one of the largest components within the state, AIA Miami serves Dade and Monroe counties. Of the 1,344 licensed architects in the area, there are currently 643 AIA members. This calculates into a 48% market share. The goal of introducing each component is to highlight the programming, special events, and other benefits each component is providing their members. AIA Miami has no shortage of offerings. Before we get into specifics, let's get a little bit of history. AIA Miami is one of the components that has its own director and paid staff. Give us a little history in the makeup of your component.
Sure. Well, AIA Miami started 96 years ago, really as a Florida South chapter, and became the Miami chapter in 1987. And we have just grown over the years. You know, you gave us a number of licensed architects, but we are hovering right at 1,000 total members of our chapter. And our members, our committees, all of the people who maintain such an active and vibrant chapter with all of the events that you already mentioned are the reason we're able to have paid staff to really help those programs continue running, run smoothly. We have had the great pleasure, you know, I mentioned 96 years of our chapter. In those 96 years, I am the 10th female president and the first Black female president. So we've had a great history of women in leadership, minority women in leadership. That's a representative of the makeup of our chapter as well, and of our community.
So tell us about what your vision for the component has been and how's your year been so far as president?
It's been a really great and positive year as we just continue on our growth, trying to hit that solid 1,000 member mark. Like I said, being the 10th female president and having all of these wonderful women on whose shoulders I stand, like Lourdes, supporting me and mentoring me in the process. My goals have really been about outreach and supporting emerging professionals. AIA has been a big part of my journey here in South Florida since I moved here not knowing anybody. And the AIA component has really helped me to network both personally and professionally and to grow and expand my career and my impact.
So Jamie, as president-elect, how have you been preparing for your year as president? And how do you see the component growing?
Well, I've been preparing in several ways. One, just being involved as I have been in my role as a director, then a VP, then president-elect currently, and seeing how all of our great previous leaders have led the chapter and continued to grow it. And that's the foundation I really want to build upon. But I really want to get back to where is the value for both our partners that are a big part of how we are financially able to give the benefits to our members, And then what is the value that our members want to see? And then where can they be more engaged to continue to grow? Because it's not at all about me as president. It's about how what can the chapter as a whole do to grow? And that's through our board, not just our ExCom, but also through our great committees as well, because those are the keys, the component of the chapter that most of our membership actually engages with. So expanding on those, empowering them to do more or continue to grow and give opportunities to our membership.
So AIA Miami is a thriving component. In speaking with Elizabeth Camargo, our current AIA Florida president, she shared that there are around 135 different languages spoken in the area. Lourdes, what's the secret to AIA Miami's success in serving such a diverse population?
I think the success is those 135 languages because A, we don't understand each other, or we do understand each other. But I think it's because we're such a diverse community. You really can find a lot of people wanting to become involved, wanting to participate, to join, whether they're native born Miami people, of which we have plenty, that have grown up here, to foreigners. Who participated in their own countries. So it's very much a very melting pot of interest and ideas, which make us, that's why it makes us so dynamic. At times also can make us a little chaotic because we have so many different people wanting to have something to say. But because we have so many people wanting to have something to say, that's really the exciting part. You really can find, you don't have to search too deep to find somebody that wants to do something, that wants to start a new program, who wants to become involved in a program. You just kind of have to know where to dig, so to speak. So we have 135 languages, which I didn't realize that there was that
I
many
didn't
of them.
either. Isn't that amazing? So your component also has a rich tradition of its leaders moving on to serve at the state level and beyond. Now, the leaders I'm acquainted with are Nadi Soto, Lourdes, yourself, and then our current president, Elizabeth. Are there others that I'm not aware of?
Well, I mean, one of them sitting here over here with us, potentially Vanessa could definitely move up to state leadership there, and even Jamie as well, after he's been president. Let's not steal him before. But we have plenty of people in the current board, I think, that are interested and would really benefit from joining the state organization and seeing how we do things at the state and local level, and how we can complement each other. And I think it just becomes for some of us, a natural progression. How else can we help? We already did our duty and our job as presidents, and you don't want to have to be repeating, "Hey, she's president again," or "She's treasurer again." You move up to the state level and join as a state director, and hopefully move up into leadership. So I'm sure there's a few. I can think of more than the ones I've mentioned.
Okay, Vanessa and Jamie, if you haven't considered
You're
it,
on
I
the
think you're
list.
exactly. The component's leadership has always been trailblazers, providing opportunities for leadership training and mentoring the next generation. So, Vanessa, share with our listeners about AIA Miami's Christopher Kelly Leadership Program.
It's a really great program, and it's also part of my journey and my story. When I first moved here, I participated and I'm a member of the 2018, 2019 class. And it's a program that started out of DC to honor Christopher Kelly, who tragically died young, and honor his legacy of service to the profession and to the organization. And it is a 9-month program, and each month it's one day a month. Each session each month is planned by that class. So you have anywhere about where the profession is going to learning how to negotiate, and it's planned by that class. So it's addressing the what that class really wants to talk about and learn about when it comes to our profession. And it really puts you on the spot. You'd be surprised to know how shy and introverted I actually am, and it forced me to call people to address my phone phobia. It forced me to raise money and taught me how to raise money for these different events, and really learning how to put programming together and how to step up as a leader in this organization and serve our members. And we have, out of the past, what, five presidents, four have been Chris Kelly graduates.
That's amazing. That says a lot about your program. AIA Miami just hosted its fourth Women's Leadership Summit this past weekend. As one of the founding members, Lourdes, tell us about the Women in Architecture organization that hosted this summit.
We had the honor of celebrating 15 years since the committee started. This was our fourth Women Leadership Summit. And we started out the event by having a slideshow of each of the 10 women presidents of their work. You know, what we've done in the state, call it 8x8. We called it 10 by 10. It's a committee that grew out of an interest that I had for attending Nationals Leadership Summit back in 2009, that I walked into a room with 400 and plus women, and it was one of the most empowering moments for me as an architect and as a leader, to find so many people that you know, looked and sounded like me. And I came back to our local chapter, and I said, we need something like this. I did not go to school in Florida, nor was I raised in Florida, so I really didn't know anybody. And AIA, by then, was already my family, but I didn't really know as many women architects. They were members, we just were not serving that population. And when Nati Soto and I started it, we hosted our first event, and I'm telling you, there was at least 30 people, and she and I only knew four. So we were like, who are all these people that we were obviously not servicing, because they saw this as an opportunity? And we have just continued on that path on making sure that we engage those members, that this is what they're interested in. They, you know, they're getting other services or other interests through other committees or other things, but we were not seeing them at the regular event. We were not seeing them at design awards or anything. And so this was we continue to see people that I don't recognize, which, you know, everybody laughs at me when I go, I know nobody. This is fantastic. Because we have almost 1,000 members. So obviously I should not know everybody. And so it's very exciting to see how many women we're continuing to mentor and engage and highlight their work, because that is, you know, just a section of the population that as members, we were not providing services for them. And I'm sure there's other groups that we could find some avenue, some program that there it's interested. You know, when we're so big, going back to your question of, you know, the secret sauce, you have to make sure we keep trying to find the things that give value, you know, to Jamie's point, value to being a member, value to the profession, as for them as individuals, as well as, you know, relevancy. How do we make sure that organization and our profession continue to stay relevant?
Now, that program has moved beyond AIA Miami. So how many components around the state now has a Women in Architecture program?
So Palm Beach started theirs right after we had ours. Orlando and Tampa had one, but it comes and goes. Northwest has one. And then obviously the state of Florida has one that I started when I was president 3 years ago. And now I'm drafting committee members from each of the components, even if they don't have a WIA chapter, so that we can, you know, engage them. And even if they're maybe too small to have a chapter or a committee, we can certainly try to provide some services and things like that. So that's been my to-do list. And I've already drafted like four new people to do that, because that's my dream, that every component in the state have a Women in Architecture group that can now support each other and highlight the
committee,
their work.
Yes, and the committee that you're speaking of is the statewide committee.
Correct, the statewide committee for AIA Florida. Yes, that it was created in 2022 while I was president, and our executive vice president Becky said yes before she knew what she was saying yes to.
So, if anybody listening would like to participate in that committee, you can reach out to Lourdes, and she will most definitely sign you up. Now, that program also, we have monthly webinars. Is it
correct? Yeah. We have a monthly webinar once a month on lunchtime. And that makes it a little bit easier, because everybody's sitting at their desk having their lunch, whereas mm-hmm. the local components generally are doing an actual event, you know, whether it's four or five or six a year to cover the social network, because we still like to see each other, and really that personal connection cannot be lost by only the screen. So the local components do the local connections, and then the state can do sort of the global connection.
In reviewing your website, I found a robust list of committees. and it shows your dedication to the profession and your members. Jamie, can you share a little bit about all the committees that AIA Miami hosts?
Sure. Like Lourdes has just touched on, the Women in Architecture Committee is a very active one. It does a lot of very important programming. But in total, we have 17 committees is in the chapter that vary from event specific, like our gala committee, our golf tournament, our soccer tournament committee, or other AIM summer camp. And whereas there's also others that are broader, like Women in Architecture, or Christopher Kelly Development and Emerging Professionals, Advocacy, Business of Architecture, or Technology, Small Firm Exchange, Large Firm Roundtable, among several others. I'm not going to list all of them.
Like I said, it's a robust list. Yes, go ahead.
And like I mentioned before, the committees are really the heart of the chapter and how most of our membership has the most engagement, because it allows us to cater to those needs and demands of the chapter. What people seek as members of a professional organization like the AIA varies so greatly. Is it mentorship? Is it support for us going out on your own in a small firm? Is it a network like Women in Architecture or Emerging Professionals? Is it like our hard cap committee, just visiting sites and seeing things that you might not get to if you're not in a phase of your career or in a place where you're seeing things under construction a lot and getting you that additional professional exposure? So that's really what makes our committees so great and what allows us to support our membership, but also allow our membership to engage further, or because our committees are always growing and changing as new members or bring new ideas forward to create new committees. Like we have a technology committee that's focusing on ideas like AI and things like that, where what is the future of the chapter and profession as a whole. So that's just some of it, but it gives a little bit of a broad overview.
I think that's part of how you are able to serve such a diverse population. So the component also has a long-standing relationship with the Miami Center for Architecture and Design. I'm going to go back to Lourdes on this one. Tell us about this collaboration and how the center serves the community.
So the idea for a Center for Architecture is probably, come think about it, since I was doing a presentation on Friday, almost 20 years old. And it started when I was president-elect and president that we, had, a lot of components of architecture clubs, trying to engage those people who are not architects, right? As to, so because they're interested in architecture. So it's the outward face, AIA. And the way we look at it is AIA is really the inward, face in terms of the services and the things that our members are interested. And the center becomes sort of that reach out to the public. And so when we hosted the 2010 AIA National conference here in Miami, with the proceeds that we made from that convention were used to establish the Miami Center for Architecture, and because you need seed money. And it's an actual not-for-profit, the one that you get a tax deduction. So it was really about, how do we get grants? How do we really engage the public? Again, the dual side of relevancy, right? We're relevant as a profession for our members, but we're also relevant as a profession to the general public. And so that's always sort of been a symbiotic relationship, very similar to what, Chicago and New York have done, with ups and downs, but it's very much sort of, how do we tell people what architecture is and what architects and AIA is, in a way that engages them. They're not interested in the minutia of how many classes of whatever it is we took. They're really interested in the history of our community, of going to buildings that they didn't even know existed, because we're always our worst own tourists in our own towns. And so it's very much, and how we can do exhibits. And those are the things that the center is trying to do, sort of that outward outreach to the community. And whereas AIA, although it's internal, but it looks in because it's looking to us as members.
I did not realize it was 20 years in the making.
I didn't either until I started preparing for my 10 by 10 by 2. And I was like, oh my God, I forgot the architecture club. That's right. that was sort of the seed of it. How do we get people to to, you know, join a club and pay 10, 15 bucks, whatever it was, to go to events that were more geared to the general public. Not that architects don't enjoy them, but, you know, how do we engage all those? And then being able to collect funds for events and exhibits and grants, which will lead you to, you know, some of the things that we're trying to do in the center, whether it's, you know, BAM, and I think Vanessa, you know, can tell you more about that. How do we fund those kind of things beyond our membership dues and things like that?
So moving on to mentoring the next generation, AIA Miami is dedicated to it as an evident of its programming. So Lord, is your partner, Craig, has been instrumental in launching some of these programs. But Vanessa, can you share with us about the AIM Summer Camp and your BAM program?
Yeah, so the AIM, or Architects in the Making Summer Camp, is a two-week program that introduces children, I think as young as six, to high school, to architecture, to design. It's a two-week program held down at the University of Miami, and they have field trips and they have projects. This year, the theme was nature texture. So they were working with designing for both humans and animals, and had the opportunity to hear from architects who are designing at the Zoo Miami, as well as take a visit to the zoo, and hear from artists and be able to put together these design projects and all these little exercises. And then it ends with a little showcase of their work. And the program's been around for a number of years, and has grown. We have scores of students going through that program, hugely successful, both financially and emotionally. The students love it. They come back year after year. They come back and they become mentors for the camp, for the next generation of the next generation. And in the beginning, it was a certain overly represented demographic, and Craig Akar, as you mentioned, saw that and wanted to make a difference. And through that, he founded BAM, or Black Architects in the Making. And then Naomi Harrison joined, she says, 5 minutes later. And the two of them have carried Black Architects in the Making, and it has expanded now to beyond just Miami, but to BAM Orlando, that's been very successful. And they've also been working to start a BAM Atlanta, as well as BAM Tampa, other spreading of the mission to diversify architecture. You know, I can go through the numbers, but basically we're at about 116,000 licensed architects and 650-ish Black female architects. Black in general is only 2%. Latinas are less than 2%. So really having an intentional push to open up the pipeline, not just generally to the next generation, but to a diverse next generation.
In doing my homework for the podcast, I noticed a special recognition you offer that I wasn't familiar with. You've entitled it the Hall of Fame. Lourdes, tell us what the Hall of Fame is and who does it recognize?
So the Hall of Fame, I was trying to figure out when it was created, because I think it's been around a little bit longer, and then it had a lull of no activity, and it kind of came back maybe 3 or 4 years ago. So the idea is to recognize architects for an overall career accomplishment, both through membership and support of the AIA, as well as service to the community. So, you know, those are the things that many of our other awards tend to provide as well, but this becomes almost kind of like a global, it's almost like a lifetime achievement to call it that. We just call it the Hall of Fame. you know, we usually have four, five, six per year that either are nominated by the committee or they self-nominate. And we also try to honor posthumously, I have a hard time with that word, people that perhaps were not recognized at their time. And we think it's important that the next generation know whose shoulders they're standing on. And that's one way of doing it, by honoring not only the living ones, but some of the ones that have passed away that did not perhaps get the highlight when they were around, and yet still have an enormous impact in our community and in our profession.
Thank you. So the annual AIA Miami Design Awards are intended to encourage excellence in architecture, elevate public consciousness of good design, and recognize those architects whose work enriches the environment. These awards recognize outstanding architectural projects, both built and unbuilt, that exemplify excellence in design while exploring nature and science of the profession. Jamie, please share with our listeners how AIA Miami approaches its design awards.
Well, we host our Design Awards Gala every year, and it's really a celebration of the great work that our architects here in Miami are doing around the world. The categories encompass a range of projects from student design awards to built work over 50,000 square feet. And we always also invite a third party, other AIA component to jury our awards. This year's was AIA New Orleans, which is where Vanessa started her career. The jury reviews each project independently and then gets together to deliberate on their top picks. And then design awards are bestowed in two levels, honor and merit. Honor is the highest level one can achieve. It acknowledges projects with distinctive character and outstanding quality, while merit award is awarded to projects and recognizes projects that demonstrate a high level of design, which exemplifies superior achievements. We also have our honor awards that are given out to individuals and firms for Firm of the Year, Architect of the Year, Emerging Professional of the Year, among others. Whereas those candidates are either self-nominated or nominated by their peers and chosen by their peers. That's the kind of broader approach for us to gala and design awards.
It is such a dynamic component, and I'm certain that we can't do it justice in this half-hour podcast. Is there anything else you'd like to share about this leading component?
Amy, when and where is the gala? What's the theme? Tell us a little more.
This year's gala is this month on the 24th of the month, and it's at the historic Hialeah Racetrack and Casino, structure that's been there for, I believe, over 100 years.
100 is celebrating 100 years.
That is the 24th of this month. Tickets and sponsorship is still available. Well, this year, we're leaning into the history and casino and theming it kind of 50s, 60s glam. It should be an exciting party, and we can all head over to the casino afterwards.
So thank you, Vanessa and Jamie and Lourdes, for being here today, telling us the incredible story of one of our most influential and dynamic components. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having us, Rhonda.
Thank you.
We owe a debt of gratitude to your leadership for its programming and support of the association. For more information, you can go to their website at AIAMiami.org. Thank you for listening, and we welcome you to listen in as we continue the component series and continue the Architecture News series in collaboration with our foundation. You can find us wherever you stream your podcast. This is Rhonda Hammond, AIA, your host. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Voice of Florida Architecture, a podcast brought to you by AIA Florida.